I don't know how many of us were at the youth event on Sunday, but I was blessed from the time I walked in to the time I walked out. And I do want to commend these young people. And one of the things I was asked to do was to tear up some paper and make a cross. Now, most people's were all nice, neat and tidy. And mine ended up as the old rugged cross. And I think there's a message there for some of the older people. And the other thing that really blessed me was this. We was asked to pick up a brown envelope. And I prayed before I picked up my envelope, because not that I'm a super spiritual person, but I believe we're living in days where every thought needs to be taken captive, and there's no such thing as coincidences. They're God incidences. And this is what my verse read. It says this: "This is not a verse, but a word of wisdom. With God, things are not made easy, just possible." And I think that's a message within itself. I want to share a few things with us tonight. As some thoughts. God placed something on my heart about 4 weeks ago. And I was in my van, I was going to work, and a song came on the radio. And it was a cry from my heart. I'm going to play this song for you at the end. And hopefully that will bring into focus what my heart wants to say. And from that point, things evolved into the message that I believe God wants me to share with you today. Now, a couple of things I want to say is this. For a long time, I've been saying to myself, I can't. And one of the things I struggle with is reading in public. Because when I look at the words, they all blur into one long line. And the plan was to get Susan to come and read for me. And circumstances today, it was as if everything came against us and it wasn't possible. So I'm going to start by saying, I can. So if it goes quiet, don't worry about it. And was it Chris who was preaching on Sunday? And he used his spiritual language, blah-de, blah-de, blah, and I thought that was brilliant. So if I get stuck, I can just go, well, blah-de, blah-de, blah, and carry on. But if it goes quiet, just bear with me. The other thing I want to say is this. For those of you that know me, hopefully you know my heart. And the message I want to bring is a challenge. And it's a challenge to us as a congregation. And I believe it's a prophetic word. And I don't say that lightly. It's what's in my spirit, and that's what I believe I'm bringing tonight. And this word is a challenging word. And my prayer is that you will hear what I say with the heart that I have to bring it. First of all, I'm going to read from the prophet Joel. Now, we went to home group on Tuesday, and some things just leapt out at me, and they really spoke powerfully. And I wanted to include what God showed me on Tuesday and what I want to share with us today. So bear with me while I read not all of Joel, but some of the bits that I feel are relevant to us this evening. I wasn't banking on not having any light either. I mean, this is a real challenge. Talk about putting me on the spot, God. Okay. The word of the Lord came to Joel, the son of Pethah. "Hear this, you elders, and give ear, you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days, even in the days of your fathers? Tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. What the chewing locusts left, the swarming locusts have eaten. What the swarming locusts left, the crawling locusts have eaten. What the crawling locusts left, the consuming locusts have eaten." And what that has shown us, a picture of the army that Joel is speaking about. The locust represents everything that devours and tears down and wants to come and destroy. So we have this picture of an army that has been sent. And Joel is prophesying to these people doom, gloom, and destruction. And there's nothing that can escape this army. I want to continue in Joel, but I'm going to skip and hopefully find my place and go down to 2 verse 7, where it says, "Everyone..." This is talking about the actual army of the locusts. "Everyone marches in formation, and they do not break ranks. They do not push one another. Everyone marches in his own column. Though they lunge between weapons, they go over the gates, they go into the city. I'm not reading scripture, I'm just speaking. They devour everything because this army is standing in rank. And the thing that I believe God was showing me was this. That shows you a picture of a negative army coming in to destroy. What God showed me was a positive army that can come in to build up, edify, and build. And as a congregation, if we actually got into formation and didn't break ranks, and please hear my heart on this, because I'm guilty of pettiness. I'm guilty of saying, my bum hurts because the chair's not, just what Bev was talking about. And for all of us, we can all put our hands up, I'm sure, and say there's times where we've backbitten, where we've gone home, and as I think it was Andrew Sankey who said, we've had preacher for lunch. You know, the word wasn't as good as it was last week or whatever. But friends, hear my heart. If we pray and ask God where we're supposed to stand, are we at the front? Are we at the back? Are we in the middle? And when we march, if we march as one army, we can be like Joel's army, where nothing could stand in their way. This prophecy is a prophecy that begins in negativity and ends up in positivity. And if we can be an army like Joel's army, in the positive, and actually march in the columns that we're supposed to march in, recognizing where we are. And friends, if God has called you to make tea, then please believe this. If you do it with a cheerful heart, it's anointed. It's a service of honor. Just because some people are up on the stage doesn't mean that their reward is any more than the person who stands at the door to welcome you in. And that's something that I believe myself in church we've sometimes missed. We sometimes feel that if we're not doing a platform ministry, then God hasn't called us. Well, I believe that's a lie and that's a strategy of the enemy. We need to recognize, friends, where we should be in that line. And my heart for us today is that we would pray and ask God, what is it you've called me to do? And as soldiers walk in formation, if they walk across a Bailey Bridge in formation, the Bailey Bridge will collapse because there's so much power that's created by the unity of the steps. They have to walk out of step. And if we can walk in step, then there's nothing that God will withhold from us. I want to continue and just end, not end, but just end this part on something positive. If I can actually see through this blur where I'm supposed to read from. Bear with me. Now therefore, verse 12, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. So rend your hearts, not your garments. Return to the Lord, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, great in kindness. And he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind? A grain offering, a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate and fast. A fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders, gather the children and nurse and babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. This is the picture. You've had a swarm of locusts. The locust represents everything that devours and tears down and destroys. The solution is the people turn back to God. They repent. We don't use the word repent often enough because we use it when we preach. We say, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. And we think we're talking to sinners. But friends, I'm talking to me here. Because when God first laid this upon my heart, he was talking to me first. And there's a point in my life where I need to repent of the things that I know God has called me to do. And I've turned away. I've allowed things to come in to steal and to rob. And the locusts have eaten so much of the things that God has given me. And I'm at a stage in my life where I need to repent. And my challenge to us today is for you to ask yourselves, because I can't answer this question for you. Are you in a position where you need to repent before the Lord? If you don't know who Christ is, you can repent and give your life to him today. If you do know who Christ is, you can repent. And repent means if you're going the wrong way, just turn around and go back in the other direction. Do we need to change direction, friends? That's the first part of my challenge. If we continue in Joel, this is the good bit. On Tuesday, when this was being shared with me, my heart just leapt. There's so much in these scriptures that, for me, I could speak on this. Well, according to my son Joel, he asked the question at the tea table tonight, how long are you going to be? And Mum says, Susan says, well, Dad's preaching. He said, well, 12 then. So I don't know if that was prophetic or not, but this is my Joel. That was my Joel, not this Joel. Yeah. Right. If we go to... Verse 25, they've prayed. Remember, these people they've had so much robbed from them, stripped bare. They came to a point where they were placed, they were on their knees before the Lord. And after they prayed, this is what happened. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dwelt wonderfully with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. It continues and it goes on. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, free those that are in captivity, those that are not in captivity. What it's saying is this: they're going to get back what was eaten plus some more. Not only are their vats going to be full, not only are their barns going to be full to overflowing, but they are going to get and some. Because it goes on to say, and I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. There is no hierarchy with God. It comes back to what I was saying earlier. If you're standing on the door to welcome people in, or you're at the front bringing words of prophecy, or words of knowledge, or teaching, or whatever it is, the rewards are the same. He poured out his spirit on all flesh. And that's the first part of what I want to share with you today. It's this. There may be things in your lives. I know in our corporate life, in the life of this church, the locusts have tried to come in to rob and steal. But when we as a people repent and get on our faces before God, not only is he going to give us back what was taken from us, but he is going to pour out his spirit. There was a prophecy that was given to this church about God's grace and his mercy and his angels protecting this place. He is jealous over us. I believe that with my heart, and I've been speaking with eldership, and I believe it's something that we recognize as a congregation, that the grace of God is upon us, but we're not to take that lightly, because there's something that we need to do as a people, as a congregation. And I want you to start thinking about the things that you think the locusts have stolen from you. And I want you to take that thought and keep it in your mind, because it's a challenge here for each and every one of us. And I'm going to go on to speak about David. You're going to wonder where I'm going with this, but believe me, I don't just make this up as I go along. Well, sometimes I make it up as I go along, but most of the time it is inspired by what I believe God wants me to share with you. So if we can go back to wherever my pen has marked the space, in 1 Samuel, I want to share with you the first thing that God put on my heart. And this is where I am this evening. And I'm going to read from 1 Samuel 30. And a bit of blah de blah in this, because there's some bits I'm going to miss out. I think I better give you some background on this first, because I'll just share a bit about David. Now, most of us know the story of David and Goliath. It's the little guy and the big guy, for those that don't know. And David was so incensed when he saw that this uncircumcised Philistine was coming against the armies of the living God, that he said to Saul the king, "I'll go out and sort him out," and that he did, with a sling and a few stones, and he slayed Goliath. Now, this same David who slayed Goliath in Samuel, he was so scared of the king that he started to dribble down his beard. The same David that in one chapter down there somewhere was so victorious, the same David was dribbling down his beard and acted as a madman because he was afraid. And this is a thought I got. There's times in my life where I'm full of zeal and, you know, and there's other times where I'm just weak as a kitten. And on Tuesday at home group, I was bouncing off the ceiling. Today, I was laying on the floor. I didn't think I was going to get here. But there was a promise made over my life about 2 years ago, and that was this. And I believe this, and it's that the prayers of the intercessor will cover me. And it was that thought that got me up off my face and back into reality. But the reason for sharing that is like this, is we don't need to feel guilty when we feel low. Because here's David. You want to read about David. And you can go on to Elisha and even Elijah, and there's a lot of the other prophets where their lives seem to be like this. One day they're doing great mighty things. Next day they're running away from women. Not that they shouldn't run away from women, but but in fact, they're quite scary at times, aren't they, women? So, I mean, that's quite a good analogy, actually. But just to give you some background on David. So it's not all been easy for him. It's been an up and down struggle. Now I'm going to read this bit in 30, if the words don't go jumbled up. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from the small to the great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. David and his two wives were taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his son and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abner the priest, Please bring the ephod here. And he brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue them, you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." So David went when he and his 600 men went with him. They came to the brook Bezer. When those stayed who were left behind, but David pursued with 400 men, for 200 were left behind. They were very weary, and they could not cross the brook. Then he found an Egyptian in the field, And they brought him to David. They gave him bread to eat, drink, and they gave him a piece of cake, figs, and two clusters of raisins. So when he had eaten these, he regained his strength. For he had not eaten bread nor drank water for 3 days and 3 nights. Then David said to him, "To whom do you belong, and where are you from?" And he said, "I am a young man from Egypt, servant of the Amalekites. And my master left me here because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion of the southern area in the territory which belongs to Judah, and of the southern area of Seleb. We burned Ziklag with fire." And David said to him, "Can you take me down to the troop?" So he said, "Swear to me by God that you will neither kill me or deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this troop." And when he had brought him down there, they were spread out over the land, eating and drinking, because of all the great spoil that they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. David attacked them from twilight until evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and rescued everything, including his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which had been taken from them. David recovered all. And my message is simple. There's times where we need to stand and we need to fight. There's times where we need to pray, and there's times where we need to go into the enemy's camp and take back what he has stolen from us. Friends, as individuals and as a corporate body, I believe for such a time as this, God's grace is upon us. God has been fighting for us. God is zealous over us. And my challenge to each one of us and to us as a corporate body is this. We need to recognize the promises that have been made over our own lives. And if we've been robbed and things have been stolen, this day we need to take a stand. We need to say this far and no further. There's some people here that were given prophecies over their lives and they've done nothing with them. And I hold my hand up to that, because God has spoken to me powerfully time and time again, and I have turned and ran because I'd rather be a follower than a leader. But there comes a point when the enemy comes in and robs something that's dear to you, robs something that's close to you, you stand and you go, "This far, devil, and no further." And that's what's happened in my life, and I need to take another stand tonight. But friends, I'm asking you as individuals, if there's anything, if God is for you, then who can be against you? He has already gone in and won the battle on our behalf. We are making a token representation by saying we're going to go back into the enemy's camp, take back what he's stolen from us. We're going to have an army like Joel's army. We're going to be a congregation who speaks in one voice. We're going to be a congregation that recognizes who we are, where we're going, and what we're doing. We're going to find our place, and we're not going to push, we're not going to bicker, we're not going to start waffling on about what they're doing, what someone else is doing, backbiting. There's been so much backbiting that I've heard with my ears, not just in this congregation, but I'm talking about in my life, that I need to put a stop to and say this far and no further. There's people here who have had words spoken over their lives about their prosperity, and their prosperity had been robbed from them. You need to take a stand today. Has your peace been robbed? The promise of the Lord is this: "I will give you peace that transcends all understanding." There's times where that is robbed from me because I don't stand upon the word of God. I stand upon my circumstances. I know within my life and in the life of my family, there's been health that's been robbed. There's been areas that I should have stood and fought as a father and as a husband, and I haven't. Because woe is me is what I think. And there's times where I dwell on that and I go, woe is me, and I like it. But this far and no further is what I'm saying to myself. And what I'm saying to you guys is this. Be challenged. If the devil has robbed you of your health, you need to stand and fight for it. You need to say, what the locusts have eaten, I'm getting back. Because the word of God says this. When I repent and turn back to him, he will not only give me what has been taken from me, but he will pour out his spirit. And his spirit is not to be poured out on the elders or the leader of the church or the oldest person in the church, but everybody, the youngest to the oldest. I mean, when you read Joel, it talks about it. There's no discrimination whatsoever. So friends, I'm going to close now. And what I'm going to leave you with is this challenge. I want to give Alan the nod because he's going to play a CD for me. And this was the record that I heard that touched my heart. And this is the prayer I want to pray over each one of us. And what I ask you to do is listen to the words, because it's the words that if I could sing, I'd like to sing to you. It's a challenge that I want to give you. Because when David goes, not just yet, Al, when David goes through in the chapters, it talks about where he recovered the Ark of the Covenant. He was afraid to have the presence of the Lord in his own house, so he left it in the house of Obed-Edom, something like that. When he got it back, this is what he did. He danced before the Lord. He was ridiculed for what he did, but he danced before the Lord. And I want to put a challenge out to you guys. Please listen to this. It's a prayer from my heart. Turn it up, please, Al.
I hope you'll never lose your sense of wonder. Get your fill to eat, but always keep that hunger. May you never take one single breath for granted. God forbid a love ever leaves you empty-handed. I hope you still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you resistance. Living might mean taking chances, but they're worth taking. Loving might be a mistake, but it's worth making. Don't let some helping heart leave you bitter. When you come close to selling out, reconsider. Give the heavens above more than just a passing glance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or to dance, I hope you dance. Beside the ocean, whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance. pray you're dancing. I hope you dance.
Thanks, Al. I was going to end out there, but if I can, I'm looking at Beverly. If we could have the worship group back up, and if we could sing, if you could sing to us, and then what I'd like us to do is stand and actually consider some of the things that I've shared tonight, and make a stand and say, you know, our fight is not against flesh and blood, is powers and principalities. And if things have been robbed from us, let's take them back. Yeah. Let's use this time of worship and let's make a stand in our individual lives and in our corporate life and say, this far and no further.
The appropriate song that we're going to sing is I Will Offer Up My Life. So we're going to sing that. Andrew was going to bring, and I, you know, obviously chose this song just really from the worship that I'd brought beforehand. I do want to sing it again, but you know, sometimes we are challenged mightily in our Christian walk, and there are absolute watershed moments where we have to make decisions to do some things and mean business about what we are committing ourselves to. And you know, as Andrew said, whether we're singing up here or playing an instrument or making a drink or welcoming somebody at the door, it really does matter that we play our part.